Today's reading is from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil. For evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Wow. You know, out of all those challenges in that, all of them, and there's a lot of challenge in this for love, you know the one that trips me up the most? I think it has to do with being male. Is the one that says, don't pretend to know more than you do. I don't know about you, but I often pretend to know more than I really do. Oh, yeah. I'm an expert on Indonesian foreign policy. Yeah. Oh, I knew that. Sure, everybody knows that's how you start a Wankel rotary engine and tune it up. Yeah. That's me. That's the flaw I'm willing to admit to, anyway. But this reading from Paul in the book of Romans, written while he's in prison, thrown in prison for being a good person, thrown in prison for helping people and feeding people, thrown in prison for telling people about Jesus and asking people, petitioning people to live in harmony, and thrown in a nasty Roman prison for these things. Starts out one little phrase that is the sermon title today because it's so important. Let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. And we'll start right out with that. It doesn't say, make love genuine. It says, let it be genuine. Now, this should suggest something to you. If you never read any other scripture, if you've read other scripture, you know the truth of what I'm about to say. But if you've never read any other scripture and just read that, let love be genuine, it tells you that love is not self-generated. Let it be genuine. In other words, let it flow. It's coming from some other source. It's coming from God. And we are its vessels. That's what we're built for. We are built to love. And our natural state is meant to be to love. That's what God created us to be. That's what God created us for, is to be loving of each other and of creation. Let love be genuine is like saying, don't get in your own way. Don't get in the way of love. You know, in my case, I might think too much about it. Let love be genuine. In other words, recognize the feeling and the impulse inside you to love. And instead of tamping it down, and instead of making excuses not to follow through with it, encourage it, fan it into flame. Let love be genuine. And then he goes on to say ways to allow love to be genuine, to allow it to flow through you. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. It's trickier than it looks. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Paul is, again, sharing a truth. That there is good in the world. And we all know this. Not everything is relative. You know when you encounter someone who is just a good person, don't you? Sometimes you meet up with someone and you just... you're all right in their presence. Good. And on the other side, have you ever encountered someone that chills you to the bone? Have you ever encountered a situation just that scares you? Or a person that you think, I'm going to get away from this person as quickly as I possibly can? They're few and far between in my experience, but every once in a while I meet someone who genuinely frightens me. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Now that can just get sloppy. Outdoing one another and showing honor. But the idea is, first of all, recognize in the idea of letting love be genuine, letting love, in other words, it's not yours, but it's giving to you. Love pours into you. Don't be stingy. Don't act as though you only have enough energy for so much love, because it's not the way love works. You know, when you use a bicep, I used to have one. When you use a bicep, when you use it and continue to use it, it gets bigger, doesn't it? It breaks down. The muscle tissue actually breaks down and it heals stronger than it started. And it gets bigger and bigger and it becomes more and more capable of more and more use. Love is a muscle. Love is the same way. The more you use it, the more you choose it, the more you have to give. Now, it works this way. It works this way. So, outdo each other in showing honor, in showing love to each other. What that will do is, well, one thing, it'll make some people around you vomit because you're so sweet. But beyond that, it'll strengthen your love. And that's the important part of the two. Forget the first part. The second part's important. It'll strengthen your love for that person. And showing honor, here's the tough part, is not just to somebody's face. Showing honor to them means speaking well of them to anybody else. And if you know something embarrassing or bad about them, something awful, not sharing that with other people. To show someone honor is to honor them in the public square as well as everywhere else. Now, in the Bible, you know those great quotes that some of our more fundamentalist friends use over and over again about woman, obey your husband. You know those quotes in the Bible? They're there. They're here and there, sprinkled. Women, obey your husband. Every one of them is followed by something else. Husbands, honor your wives. Every single one of them. They don't focus on that quite so much. And the idea of honoring your wife is to pay credence to her, is to respect her, and is to always speak well of her. In some ways, it is exactly the same as obeying. Honoring and obeying are two sides of the same coin. So, you show someone love by honoring them to their face, behind their back, in public, and in private. And the more you honor them, the more you think the good thought instead of the bad thought. When they mess up, and you choose to think, well, it's been crazy lately. Things are a little nuts. It's understandable this happens. Instead of, oh, I can't believe you did that again. It's honoring somebody. I saw a lot of telling looks when I mentioned it. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Now he is going from the personal to the universal. And he's blowing that love out for the whole world. And he's saying, in your personal relationships, that's the way you should deal with the rest of the world as well. Love, honor, respect. Love, honor, respect. This is what a Christian's supposed to do, and it's very hard for a Christian to continually do that. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. I'm no good at that. I'm really no good at that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I'm pretty good at that. In other words, feel what the other one is feeling. Don't be afraid to feel it with them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And then there's that. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. One day, God, you and me. One day. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. That's verse 18, and that's important because it is quite easy for us to get this idea that we are to be doormats, that everyone's supposed to just walk all over the Christian. Well, that verse 18 recognizes a few things. First of all, it recognizes sometimes you just get pounded for no good reason. And sometimes situations are such where being completely peaceful is not going to be possible. And what Paul is saying is, wherever possible, however possible, as much as it depends on you, stay peaceable. Stay peaceable. Never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I have a tough time waiting for that. Do you? I have a lot of faith in God. But just like Jesus had so much trouble with the disciples when they're leaving a town where no one would listen to the message and they're saying, shall we call down fire on them? Shall we burn up the town? Shall we blow it up? Come on, God, come on. Come on, Jesus, let's use some of that power. How about those laser beam eyes? Come on. And Jesus has to slow them down and say, no, 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 no. There's enough of that in the world. The world certainly doesn't need more of that from us. And what Jesus said to his disciples, he says to his disciples, whether it was 2,000 years ago or today, there's enough of that in the world already. There's enough anger and violence and self-righteous violence and action, more than enough. The way to change the world is to respond in love to hate. And that whole idea of heaping burning coals on someone's head. Remember, please, this comes from Proverbs first. 25th chapter of the Proverbs is what Jesus is quoting here. Remember, please, that the Jews were poetic people. Please, I wish more people would remember this. The Jews were a highly poetic people, and they spoke in wonderful, flowery prose quite often. And what they are saying is not that someone will have their scalp burned off if you'll just be nice to them when they're mad. What they're saying is you will give them something to think about. Someone who treats you nasty and you turn around and you show them love, well, most people will feel some remorse. Most people will repent from their actions. Most people will be given something to think about. And what you end up having is, instead of an enemy, another friend. Heaping hot coals in someone's head is giving them something to think about, something to feel remorse for, and ultimately something to change from and to, from enemy to friend. Now, all these things in here are all backfill from that first statement, let love be genuine. And this is what is most important to us as Christians, that we be genuine people. And it is very hard to be that 24/7. It's very hard. But if we start out with the idea that the love we have in our hearts does not come from us, That makes it a little easier. You know, when I'm out and about spending the church's money, I find that easier to do than spend my own. I don't know about you, but you know, when you're on business for your company, or those of you who are retired, you're on business for your company back before you were retired, or for kids, if you are out with money that your parents gave you versus money you earned mowing the lawn or at your own job, don't you find you are far more generous with that money? Don't you find that it's easier to spend that money than when it's the stuff from your own pocket? Love is the same way. Indeed, just as all the money we get came from somewhere else and someone else's work, all of the love we get came from somewhere else too. It came from God. It's flowing in a stream. It flows in a stream from God through Jesus, through the cross. It flows in a stream through all people everywhere, through the very creation itself. Love is flowing into us. Spend it. Give it away. Just give it away to people who don't even deserve it. Just drop it out there. Make it so when you walk through the city, there are puddles of love behind you that people are stepping and saying, oh, what's that? Well, hey, that's not bad. It is important for us to be extravagantly generous with our best impulses. That is the only hope for our world. And most of the problems we have in the world today come from people who are love constipated. People who just and hold it in and don't let it out because they're afraid someone's going to take advantage of them, because they're afraid that they're going to show love to someone who's going to show them more hate, and they're going to look foolish. They're afraid to be a patsy. For us, a key to our faith is recognizing that the more love we give, the more love we get. And give and give and give our love. Let love be genuine. Just let it flow. Often you'll find you're making it up as you go along. Now, for me, this is infinitely personal these days. As my mom's not here today, so I can preach a little bit about her. As most of you who know my family know, my mother is in mid-stages of Alzheimer's disease. And she hasn't used my name in over a year. Now, I had models of other people who have gone through this, who showed me and told me what to expect. It would be very easy to take steps away from someone who doesn't completely know you anymore, especially when you know what's coming next, which is at some point you will not be recognized at all. It'd be very easy, and I have to be honest with you and tell you, there are times when I do withdraw because I just can't hurt that much at the moment. But Kay Sharon told me this years ago. Her mother was plagued with senility, and there was one day when Kay was visiting at her bedside like she always did, when her mother turned to her and said, I wish my daughter would come and see me. And there was Kay right there. And she said, Corey, you love somebody because you love them. And you don't stop loving them because they're no longer capable of giving love back. Lori Pickering told me the same lesson. She said that she would sit with her mom, who is still living. She would sit with her mom, and her mom would say the same thing over and over again. And all this crazy stuff that made no sense. And she said, I realized my job was not to have a conversation with my mother, but was to keep her plugged in and happy. And so if mom said 14 times, is that a bird feeder on my window? I would be surprised 14 times and say, why, yes, it is. What do you think about that? See, we spend a lot of time in our relationships, even our closest relationships, focused mostly on what we get out of them. But our job is focusing on relationships to see how much we can put into them. My job with my mother now is just that. How much can I put into this relationship? How much can I keep her from feeling bad for forgetting things? How much can I make this moment in this day delightful, even though she's not going to remember this moment 2 minutes from now? Let love be genuine. Care totally for the person, especially the person with diminishing faculties to love you back. Now, you don't have to be dealing with someone who's in Alzheimer's to learn this lesson. It works even better with those who are capable of response from you. Let love be genuine. Choose to open the heart and the hands and the mind and the mouth, and let the love of God, in all its genuineness, flow through you into all you meet in the world. Amen.